see it in the movies, in the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by.
And it is going by the book, right down to it. Everything is connected. I try to make that point to my broadcast. Welcome. My name is Thomas Campbell. For those joining us today, tonight, on this Friday, welcome. Tonight, the big surprise, some of you don't know what I'm going to talk about. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to talk about. We're going to talk about who the false prophet is. And I have a underlying reason for that. Underlying reason. Is the talk about the false prophet meshes together with the extraterrestrial lie that they're going to tell. There's some connections. Very interesting connections. Who the real false prophet of the Bible is and how obscure to majority of Christians that this false prophet is. And we know who it's going to be. We just don't know when. But the churches are on a completely different track. They're not connecting the fallen angels, ascended masters, aliens, all that stuff, with characters in the Bible that are real. It's almost like something out of a movie. It's like a fictional book, but it's not. It's real. The false prophet, in my determination, is going to be Sananda Emmanuel, the one that's calling himself Yeshua. When you start seeing the connections of the dots that's taking place, you start seeing a pattern emerge. The churches are talking about the false prophet. They have no idea. You know, they have their Revelation study. They're not connecting the New Age movement with current theology. They look at it as something different, but it's not. It's all connected. That's the point. Everything is connected. Everything. It's like a spider web. Every conspiracy that you can come up with is connected to this one conspiracy that we've been talking about all this time. I mean, you're not going to name one thing on this earth, really, literally. Even in your personal lives, the supernatural realm has their little knickers in it in some way or another. A lot of people can't handle that. They can't deal with it, so they just shut down. I find it fascinating. But even for those that find it fascinating and like to study it, as when it starts hitting close to home, people start getting a little bit unnerved. When it starts really taking its toll, when it starts affecting your life, you're like, oh, this is real. Like you're training for warfare and you use blanks and airsoft weaponry. Then the day comes, you really go to combat and the bullets start whizzing by your head. Now that, you know. Or you get into a fight in the street and there's no referee like sometimes in boxing and karate matches. You don't have a referee, you know. your body goes through experiences that you can't really practice. Well, when you start seeing the end times events start to appear, it's like, oh, this is real. Then you got people's attention. Let's dedicate the broadcast. And tonight we're going to talk about and find out, hopefully, at least have an idea about the false prophet, who is different than the Antichrist. Don't confuse the two. So I hope tonight I can help ferret it out as I learn to go along with you all that's listening about who this false prophet really is. Where's he going to come from? We'll look from different directions, different ideas from different theologians, and I will connect dots of my own, let you make your own decision up. Lord, thank you tonight. We come together in a Bible study. Father, we talk about the end times tonight. Father, come down among us, Lord, your Holy Spirit, to lead us tonight, to give us insight about who this false prophet is, Lord, that leads up to the Antichrist and the end times. Lord, so we can hear your voice that's deep in our soul, that, Lord, you guide us along with your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for protection in these times to come, of discernment and wisdom to see through the deception, protection against those that want to put us away. We call for protection of our family members. And Father, we see miracles happening around us where the division is happening between the wheat and the tares. And Father, you know the hearts of those that are the wheat, and you know the future of those that are tares. That, Lord, you'll set up divine appointments, we know. That you'll guide the right ones in the right direction. Father, we thank you for this opportunity now, and we thank you for your convictions, your chastisement, and Father, for your sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And all these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, the way I acquired this network was an amazing story. I'm not even going to go into it, but it wasn't even, nothing I've done has ever planned ever come out right. It just comes out. So I got this network. I could be on Blog Talk and still trying to figure that out. The sound is not so good on Blog Talk. And others, it's complicated. This wave panel and shoutcast thing I've got is complicated to get set up. But I had someone to help me that actually turned against me later. Tim or something, whatever. That's a whole new story. Found out that his email linked up to NSA from another webmaster that checked it down. Hey, go figure. Anyway, so I learned all about this now through them. The very ones that's trying to set me up didn't know I'd catch on and ended up doing some good training, and I got a good system. God works in strange ways. I imagine with time, he'll have me to go down. But it doesn't seem to be the time now. Didn't seem to be the time. Tonight, we're going to talk about the false prophet. I think it's about time. To find out who he is, if we can, or get close to understanding. Maybe never know who he is until he shows. That's kind of how the Revelation is put together anyway, and the rapture and all that. If nobody knows when, you just know when it happens. The Bible's written in such a way, so cleverly through mankind, that Satan, who knows the Bible, can't figure out when Jesus is coming. So it's written in such a way that really it tells you when it's coming, but not exactly. You'll just be able to recognize it when it happens. Now, we can talk later next week about the man who calls himself the Antichrist. But when we discern or ferret out the false prophet, well, you're halfway there. If you go to Revelation 13, 11 to 18, and away we go. You ever heard it? What's his name, Jackie Gleason? Oh, I never heard of him. Yeah, that's what I figured. That's a long time ago. And away we go. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. He spake like a dragon. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now, commentary about that from my own self. There's thoughts about what the deadly wound is, and some say that it's the Holy Roman Empire, the old one. This would be after World War III. The real World War III, not the fake one that are coming up. Between Zionism and Islam to fight it out in World War III of massive, massive casualties on worldwide. And there's no winner. But there's a rise of the Holy Roman Empire that was once dead, now back alive again. Then there's folks that say, well, the Antichrist. Well, no, the Antichrist is another wound. Interesting. The first beast will be the Holy Roman Empire. Then after that comes up, then here comes the false prophet to bring peace, you see? Like a world war. And the extraterrestrial, as they're going to call him, would bring peace and stop the battle so we would not destroy each other. So first comes second seal, World War III, which would be toward the end of the 3.5 years, resulting in famine, resulting in disease, souls on the altar. Huh. And then to stop mankind from destroying themselves, here comes false prophet somewhere along the way. Let's move along and see what happens. He doeth great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man. Satan can do that too. So it shows people how powerful he is. Somehow bringing down fire from heaven. And deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the beast, image of the beast, should be killed. He caused all, both great and small, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or in their foreheads, or in the forehead, not an the forehead, or in their foreheads, as if you have a choice. And that no man might buy and sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now, that's another person who's prominent in the tribulation called a beast. Now, the second beast elsewhere is called the false prophet. So what I've just described is the Antichrist, or the risen Holy Roman Empire. So let's check this. In Revelation 13, 11 to 18, so the second beast then would be another prominent figure of the tribulation during that period, that 7 years, that 3.5 years. And what he does is he works very closely with the first beast, even organizing an international campaign for the worship of the first beast, kind of promoting him. And there's a huge idol or a statue that's going to represent the Roman emperor. So the second beast comes out of the earth. The second one comes out of the earth or the land. And if the land of Israel is in view, well, then this leader is almost surely a Jew. Or the Jewish tribe. Which would be today the Merovingian bloodline, the synagogue of Satan. But some commentators, it says that he's a false prophet. Now, 16:13, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Revelation 19:20. I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make a war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And in 2010, Revelation 2010, and the devil that deceives them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's at the end of the 1,000 years. So that's Revelation 16:13, Revelation 19:20, and Revelation 20:10. He also has two horns like a lamb. Gives the appearance of gentleness and harmlessness. But it suggests here that he impersonates the Lamb of God. Speaks like a dragon, indicating he is inspired and empowered by Satan. We move on to 12 and 14, Revelation 13:12-14. He exercises all the authority of the first beast. Now, what that means is that this Roman emperor, to be the Antichrist, would give him unlimited authority to act on his behalf. He has supernatural powers. Well, that could mean he could be a fallen angel. Even causes fire to fall from heaven. What this is for is to deceive the people into worshiping a man as God, because he's got these powers. I call it supernatural whiz-bang smoke and mirrors. He gives animation to the great image. And at the abomination of desolation, this image can actually speak. The penalty of refusing to worship is death. What would allow an image to speak? How about voice-to-skull technology? There you go. 13:16, Revelation, the second beast, will insist that people indicate their allegiance, this to the Roman emperor, by wearing the mark of the beast on the right hand or on their foreheads. Now, in addition to the mark, the beast has a name. It's a mystical number. Everybody says that they figured it out already. Apparently nobody has. And unless a person takes the mark, name, or number of the beast, they'll not be able to buy or sell. It's an effort to force people by economic means to forsake Christ for idolatry. It's a severe test. True believers will prefer death to renouncing their Savior. John MacArthur, a theologian, says different. The tape that I have, the recording, that he confirms, he does, that's okay to take the mark. Well, it's not. The number of the beast is 666. Six is the number of a man. And you know, the fact that it's one less than seven suggests that the man has fallen short of the glory or the perfection of God. And so the three sixes represent the three or the trinity of evil. So now, what begs the question in Revelation 13 is whether the first or the second beast is the Antichrist. So, the argument for the first being the Antichrist is that he insists on being worshipped as God. And those that believe that the second beast is the Antichrist, they point out that no Jew could ever accept a Gentile or Messiah. And since the second beast is a Jew, then he must therefore be a false Messiah as well. So, he's apparently subservient to the first beast, which is the Antichrist. Second beast, false prophet. Subservient to the first one, the Antichrist. And part of the evidence is that he's a religious leader. So what pops in my head is the fallen angel, Sanan de Manuel. Because right now, who do they say that Jesus is? A prophet, a good man, full of wisdom. Well, no, he's God incarnated, human flesh. But several religions, and the Mormons say he's a brother of Lucifer. They're brothers. Jehovah's Witness is another story, and Freemasons say Jesus is Lucifer, Satan. It's all convoluted. And the Bibles have been changed to reflect that. That's why the King James stands alone. Now, these miracles and signs that he's going to perform in front of people when it happens, you know, calling fire down from heaven, what does that mean? It's going to be used as evidence to validate his claim to be the Elijah. It come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So, claim will be made, promoted, that the Antichrist is a true Messiah. That's what brings on the first trumpet. And you know, that's confirmed, if you remember, about a primary focus of attention during the last half of the tribulation is on the Temple of Jerusalem, abomination of desolation. And that's where the image of the Antichrist and his abomination is set up and worshipped. And they'll use technology. Now, the false prophet, with his use of miracles and supernatural whiz-bang, smoke and mirrors and wonders, he kind of leaves the world in worshiping the image of the Antichrist, and he'll kill all those who do not do so. So his power will come from Satan himself. His authority will be delegated to him from the Antichrist. As I've said many times, they've divided up world into seven ashram rays: religion, finance, education, politics, economics, finance, the harmony, beauty, and the arts, philosophy, and so forth. Well, in Revelation 13, this is the economics and religion part, will be inseparably linked together. And during this time, when they're coordinating and working together, these two rays, those who fail to worship or refuse to worship the Antichrist will not only face death, but will not receive the mark of the beast, which is essential for buying and selling. Now, some of these theologians, they suggest that the second beast is actually the Antichrist. They don't even know. But this is a very weak argument. They say the first beast is the Antichrist. Those that say the second beast is the Antichrist, very weak argument. With it, they can't argue it too well. But clearly, the second beast is subservient to the first one. And that argues against his being the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is the most powerful individual on the earth. The first beast, not the second, he'll rule the world. And that points toward the first beast as the one who claimed to be Messiah. So, that the first beast is object of worship is evident of the messianic claims. Where do those claims come from? I have an idea for you. Whether he meant it well or whether it's part of it, I don't know. But Ron Wyatt said he came across the ark when he's walking by this trash dump in Israel, and his hand just stuck out automatically like a divining rod and pointed to the trash. They started digging the trash, went through some caves and caverns and whatever else, found the ark. Had blood on the seat. The shroud, which is a myth, it's a fake, but the shroud has blood on the shroud. They checked that blood. And they say the DNA matches who the figure Antichrist will be. You get yourself a match. I will hypothesize and say that that's going to happen. The ark is not the Ark of the Covenant in the Bible. It's a fake ark. It's got blood on it. And dried blood. Same thing about the shroud. So that will link the Antichrist to royal bloodline when they announce the DNA match. You see what's happening? Now the first beast will have a messianic appeal to the unbelieving Jewish nation. He'll fit the role of Satan's false Messiah. And that would be Sananda. So it's best to see the second beast functions in Elijah. That kind of role like Elijah, with delegated authority from the Antichrist. He exercises all the authority of the first beast. Revelation 13:12 leads the world into worship of the Antichrist, which would be the New Age movement. That's what Roman Catholicism really is. It's going to go right to that and have a falling away of the church. So who is the false prophet of the end times? Well, you'll find the description in Revelation 13, as I said, 11 to 15. He's also referred to as the second beast in the Bible, Revelation 16, 13, 19, 20, and 20, verse 10. And along with the Antichrist and Satan, empowers both of them, and the false prophet is a third party, the unholy Trinity. Now, that being said, you have the Apostle John, who describes this person. He kind of gives us some ideas about how to identify him. First, he comes out of the earth. Now, what does that mean? Well, he comes out of the pit of hell with all the demonic powers of hell at his command. Now, it could also mean he comes from a lowly circumstances, secret and unknown, until he bursts on the world stage in the right hand of the Antichrist. And could mean he comes out from lowly circumstances. He is depicted as having horns like a lamb, speaking like a dragon. Now, the horns on lambs are merely small bumps in the head. The lamb grows into a ram. Rather than having the Antichrist combination of heads and horns, shows his power and might and his head being fierce. The false prophet comes like a lamb, wins people over, has persuasive words, elicits sympathy, goodwill from others. It's sounding more and more like Sanan Emanuel. He comes up with these sayings on the internet, you read, and it's already showing up. My children, I come to you. You know, you got the same old rhetoric. Might even be an extraordinary preacher, an orator, or some demonically empowered words that deceive the multitude. But he speaks like a dragon. His message is a message of a dragon. And we identify the dragon as devil or Satan. Now, in Revelation verse 12, it gives us a false prophet mission on the earth. What's his purpose here? Well, it's to force humanity to worship the Antichrist. He's kind of like the second man in charge, because he's given all the authority of the Antichrist. Because like him, false prophet is empowered by Satan as well. So it's not perfectly clear, really, whether people are forced to worship the Antichrist or whether they are so enamored and mesmerized to these powerful beings that they fall for this deception and worship him willingly. What beings? Sons of God, the fallen angels, the coming alien, ascended masters. They'll claim to be. They won't be really. They'll be fallen angels, demons. Notice that lately the movies are all about horror, ghosts, demonic. Man, we're way past Frankenstein. We're long past Frankenstein. Forget them. And Godzilla, not anymore. They're all demonic. Notice that. And you know, the second beast uses miraculous signs and wonders. Fire from heaven. Establish the credibility of both of them. Seem to indicate that people fall for them by their adoration of power and message. People be amazed, mesmerized. Look what he can do. So if you go on verse 14, it goes on to say that the deception is so great that the people have set up an idol to the Antichrist to worship him. Does that not sound a little bit like the huge golden image of Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 3? All were forced to bow down and pay homage. Nothing new under the sun. You'll find it in Revelation 14, 9 to 11. Then it talks about, describes this horrible fate that awaits those who worship the image of the Antichrist down the road. And you know, those who survive the terrors of the tribulation is yet to come. They'll be faced with two choices. Those who refuse to worship the beast, the image of the beast, they'll be subject to death. But those who do worship him will incur the wrath of God. So, the image will be, what's the word, extraordinarily, pretty much because of its ability to speak. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to come to life like some hologram and turn to flesh. But pneuma is a Greek word. It talks about breath or current of air. Not the word bios, which means life. So it does mean that it will be, well, this image will have some kind of ability to breathe. To breathe forth this message of the Antichrist and the false prophet. Kind of being the spokesman for them. The image that they'll build will also condemn to death those who refuse to worship this pair of unholies. So, whoever the false prophet really turns out to be, the final world deception, the final apostasy will be massive. It's called the Great Falling Away. The whole world is going to be caught up in it. So we already see, like in your international TV ministries, we've talked about these before in my regular Bible studies, that the final world deception, it will, and the final apostasy will be great. The whole world will be caught up in it. My opinion is it will follow a war. They'll be billed as Armageddon. People will actually believe that. You know, the deceivers and false teachers that we see today are pretty much the forerunners of the Antichrist and the false prophet. Don't be deceived by them in any means. Because these false teachers are everywhere. All the way back to 73, Dr. Chester M. Pierce out of Harvard. My regular listeners, you've heard me read that quote before. It's just unbelievable. Right out in the open. But how to teach the children five and above in a humanistic manner. These false teachers abound, and they're kind of coming toward us with a final satanic kingdom. And a lot of these actually are ministers we've trusted that by 1990 started coming out. All of a sudden they denied Jesus. What's up with that? The Christ they accept. Because the Christ is a new age Messiah. Jesus the Christ. Jesus Messiah. Jesus Christ is specifically Jesus of the King James Bible. So, clearly, the book of Revelation is straightforward. It says the future Antichrist will be aided by an individual known as the false prophet. And what he'll do is help convince the world that the Antichrist is worthy, deserving of worship, and it is he who enforces this worship on a penalty of death. But you know, the prophet Daniel tells us that this powerful spiritual leader is going to come from Rome. That'd be the old Roman Empire. So going back again from another commentary, that the second beast is referred to as the false prophet in Revelation 16, verse 13, and 19, verse 20. You know, also, it is possible that the false prophet may actually claim to be Jesus of Nazareth. Now, those that's done the studies, that should make your eyebrows wrinkle up a little bit. You know why? Because you look at Sanan de Emmanuel, that is who we think Jesus is not. And in Hinduism, it believes a prophet. Islam believes a prophet. Several religious cults believe that Jesus was a prophet. So a false prophet may claim to be Jesus of Nazareth. What's happening with the one called Sananda? They're trying to get people to say across the board, he's Yeshua. Yahshua. The false prophet. Or Jesus is one the same. So that would be Sananda Manuel. You know, this new understanding is based on a false prophet's description in Revelation 13, verse 11. He's described as having two horns like a lamb. We'll go back to that. The metaphor of this lamb is used about 28 times all through the book of Revelation. It's used almost exclusively. 27 of these times, in fact, is a reference to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And you know the single instance where the term lamb is not used in connection with Jesus is in Revelation 13. It's in reference to the false prophet. So the false prophet appears like a lamb. He speaks like a dragon. And it's entirely possible that this is an implication. The false prophet may actually claim to be Jesus of Nazareth, a fake Jesus. And that would be Sananda Manuel. So the false prophet will come from Rome, Daniel 9:27. And that's a prophecy of a future Roman prince, German or Italian, from the old Illuminati family. There you go. But he would be a hybrid human, the Antichrist. He'll erect an image known as the Abomination of Desolation. Find that in Daniel 9:27. And in Daniel 9:27, he will confirm a covenant with many for 1/7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice. That means the Jews are going to start the sacrifices, which they haven't started yet. It would be after they build the temple. So there's some things got to happen first. And on one wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation, until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. So now this abomination of desolation that's talked about by Jesus himself, it's a high point of the tribulation period to separate the men from the boys, the wheat from the tares. It's in Matthew 24:15-21. Matthew 24, verses 15 to 21. Taken with a grain of salt, there's a majority of scholars understand that the abomination of desolation is the same as the image of the beast. Well, it might also indicate that the setting up of the image is the high point of tribulation. So, Revelation does confirm that it is the false prophet who directly orders the abomination be erected. Therefore, the Roman prince of David, 9:27, he's shown setting up the abomination of desolation, is a false prophet. That'd be Sananda. But you also have a lot of other scholars that believe that the Roman prince of Daniel, 9:27, is a reference to the Antichrist. But this view is inadequate based on a number of reasons, which some of those reasons you'll find in Revelation 13, verse 14. This is where the false prophet carries out the setting up of the abomination and not the Antichrist. And you'll find that view supported by Daniel 11:31. He talks about there the armed forces of the Antichrist that sets up the abomination, this image. So, as a subordinate to the Antichrist, the false prophet will be considered to be part of the Antichrist forces. If you turn to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, and that in itself is used as evidence that the Antichrist erects the abomination, then it conflicts with Revelation 13, 14 and Daniel 11, 31. So, the only logical, non-contradictory interpretation is that the false prophet erects the abomination, and that 2 Thessalonians 2, 4 merely indicates that the Antichrist, by sanctioning, by putting up the setup of this abomination, he kind of makes a de facto claim to be God. And that leaves the first trumpet. People keep saying go back to the Hebrew. Well, there's like several different meanings of some words in Hebrew. So you got to find the right one. See, that's where the Holy Spirit came in, the King James translators. He helped them along. Today, no. People try to change the Bible. Can't do that. You know that there's a lot more evidence as well that the Roman prince of Daniel 9:27 is the false prophet rather than the Antichrist. When you focus on the Hebrew terminology, see, the title of a king in Hebrew means Melech, M-E-L-E-K. And that's used pretty much of the Antichrist in Daniel 7:24 and Daniel 8:23 in Hebrew throughout Daniel 11:24-45. However, Daniel 9:26-27 will talk about the future leader from Rome, sort of as a prince or a ruler of some kind. And you'll find the Hebrew word is N-A-G-I-Y-D, Negyed. Now, you got to have the Old Testament to understand the New Testament. They don't work separately. That shows you the continuity in the scriptures. And also when you consider that this Melech is used as Antichrist in Daniel 7:24, Daniel 8:23, and all the way through, which I'm not going to read all of it, Daniel 11:21-45. But Daniel 9:26-27 talks about the future leader from Rome as a prince or a ruler, Negyed. So what are the implications of this future Roman prince, false prophet, subservient to the Antichrist? Your Calvinists, preterists, other cult groups, say, well, we went through the seven-year period. It's already done. That would mean any battle that they conjure up or manufacture would be Armageddon, would it not? And then here comes the one that looks like Jesus. Well, actually, that would start the first seal. They would not understand that. That's what they're trying to set up. So Christians understand, we understand, that this world is waiting for the beginning of the final 7-year period. Since the 70 week of Daniel stopped after the 69th, when they rejected Jesus, in Jerusalem. So the 70th week of Daniel was judgment. Never happened. Because they rejected him as their Savior. It's the final week of judgment. The final 7-year period that was in Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks. Which they don't want you to know about, apparently. Because they're going to fake it, and the coming in of Sananda will equal the coming in of Jesus. You see? After some kind of chaotic event. That's how they're going to try to do it. And that 70-week, that 7-week, 7-year period, excuse me, that prophecy is very, very critical to understanding biblical prophecy and the future when it starts. Now, the final 7-year period will begin when the future Roman prince, he confirms a covenant that involves the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. They tried to fake that with each president. And one of them says, when peace and safety, oh, YouTube started buzzing. Do you hear what President Bush said? He said peace and safety. Hear what Obama said? Yeah, peace and safety. Hear what? Everybody's jumping around like jumping beans. They know exactly what they're saying in their speeches. That's the purpose of it. Keep people guessing. Some people have been led to believe that this future Roman prince will be the false prophet of the Bible prophecy then. He also may be a leader of post-rapture apostate Roman Catholic Church. Or the re-spiritualized Roman Catholic Church. The Antichrist has to be a human of some kind. Because Satan will take his body. So Satan cannot take a fallen angel's body. Does that leave the false prophet to be a fallen angel? The Antichrist to be that of a man that can be possessed by Satan at the abomination of desolation. No, so the goal of the Vatican looks like to be the control of religious sites, all religious sites within Jerusalem's old city. Take total control. They tried that with the Muslims back in about the 9th century, give or take. Didn't work out so well, but they did get the Dome of the Rock built. Now they got to tear it down to put up the Jewish temple. That's yet to happen. So, you had in September the 10th, around 1993 time frame, you had La Stampa. It's a, I don't know, it's kind of like an Italian newspaper. And they revealed that one of the unwritten clauses of the DOP was the PLO asset to deal a brokerage between the foreign minister, Shimon Peres, back then, and the pontiff. In other words, to cut to the meat, Peres promised the Vatican hegemony over the old city of Jerusalem by the end of the year 2000. Now, I happen to know that that's supposed to equal World War III. It didn't take place in Kosovo as a trigger point in June of 1999. It never happened. Wesley Clark failed. Some things happened there that didn't take off. So we're heading to a New World Order by the year 2000. So by 1999 was supposed to be a manufactured war between Russia and America and China. Kind of like they're doing today, but it never happened. Now, that future Roman prince will confirm a covenant between Israel and the Antichrist. Daniel 9:27. Let's take a picture of that one. Let's go to Daniel 9:27. Here, let's hold a second. In, let's see, where are you, Daniel? Daniel's hot. Oh, there he is. Yeah, he can't hide, Daniel. Come back out. Daniel 9:27. It talks about the 70th week, and there's a time gap, which is happening now, between the 69th and 70th week. Remember when they rejected Jesus, they went on into the actually delayed the 70th week of judgment. It ended up happening was the Jerusalem was torn down by 70 AD. There's a time gap between the 69th and 70th weeks. And that period ends up being the church age. Period of the Gentiles. Extends from Pentecost to the rapture. Whenever the rapture may be. You know, it's not talked about specifically in the Old Testament. It's a secret hidden in God from the foundation of the world, but revealed by the apostles and prophets of the New Testament. This part of it. However, this principle, this gap between 69 and 70th and the church age, is very nicely illustrated by Jesus Christ in the synagogue of Nazareth in Luke 4:18-19. In Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And you know, Jesus also quoted Isaiah 61:1, which says, because that was the Old Testament, he used this scripture. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Almost word for word, just about. But you see, here it cut it short at the acceptable year of the Lord, which was his first advent. He left off the judgment of his second advent. So on the day of vengeance of our God, Isaiah 61:2. So in between this gap was to occur the whole church age. So here it breaks us upon this covenant. The Roman prince shall confirm this covenant with many. And that means the unbelieving majority of the nation or of Israel. Because they're not believers. But there's some there that are. But the Roman prince will confirm a covenant with the unbelievers in Israel. How long? For 1 week. This is a 7-year tribulation period once that covenant's been confirmed. God will let it happen. Might it be a friendship treaty, a non-aggression treaty? I don't know. A guarantee of military assistance? They've tried to fake it several times with different presidents. But in the middle of this week, 3.5 years later, when it's signed, he'll bring an end to sacrifice and offering. Because a sacrifice is anticipation of the coming of the Lord, of their God, of their Messiah. But something's going to happen. God will turn them over. At this point, the Antichrist, the Roman prince, will turn hostile toward Israel. Tell them to stop their sacrifices and offerings to Jehovah. And on one wing of this abomination, Daniel 24, verse 15, there, I said before, there'll be set up an abominable, idolatrous image in the temple that will speak. That'll be voice-to-skull technology. He'll command that it be worshipped. Some think that that wing is referring to the wing of the temple. He'll make one, he'll be one who makes things desolate. Means he'll persecute, destroy those who refuse to worship. And it'll be terrible persecution of Jews will continue for the last half of the 70th week. Kind of a period known as the Great Tribulation. That's why it says, head to the hills. Then the Roman prince is the one who makes desolate. He'll be destroyed himself by being cast in the lake of fire at Armageddon. At Gog and Magog. No, I'm sorry, at Armageddon. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. But the Antichrist and the false prophet will be cast in the lake of fire. Now, the Catholics, Catholic commentators, you have a Malachi Martin or something like that, Kathleen Keating, other Catholic visionaries are united in the belief that the Catholic Church will at one time be led by a figure called the Antipope. He'll turn against the fundamentals of the Christian faith and accept the Antichrist. Now, those that regularly listen to me, I referred to the term of the re-spiritualization of the Catholic Church. Back to the original roots of the ancient mystery schools of religion. Do as thou wilt is hold the law. What's been promoted by Sinan Emanuel. And the Vatican is heavily involved in the Middle East in every single war that they've got. So, it looks like this false prophet fits the bill. Who's the false prophet in Islam? Who's the prophet? Jesus is. According to them. How about everybody else? He's a brother of Lucifer in the Mormon religion. He's a prophet in Jehovah's Witnesses. And for New Agers, he'd be an alien that looks exactly like Jesus Christ, the Sananda Emanuel. And also happen to know that this one named Sananda who's also considered a prophet, because it's Jesus, a prophet, according to them. Then he also will be the Kalki Avatar, the Prince of Peace, Krishna. Maitreya, Bodhisattva, the Imam Mahdi. He'll fit all those at one time. Somehow he meld into one. So that way he satisfies everybody. Now you remember that prayer that was led by that vice mayor in that meeting I've been playing y'all. Talks about all of them. Thor and Krishna and Satan, they put them all in one prayer. Whole list of gods. That prayer just, that gets me every time. I can't, how blatant it's become. It's unbelievable. So, the false prophet then would fit the bill of being Sananda, a fallen angel, who would introduce or promote the Antichrist, which would be human, part of the old Roman Empire, the Illuminati, as far as the physical vehicle, the body, is concerned. One thing for sure. You'll know when it happens. There'll be two. It'll be a world stage. It'll be a falling away. Extraterrestrial nonsense. Supernatural whiz bang, smoke and mirrors. A change in everybody's life. You'll know what it's going to be. And then when things turn out, you'll say, oh, that's what that is. Oh, that's what that is. So no one person can say, I'm a perfect prophet of God. The Bible is written in such a way it takes us all to work together to be able to preach the gospel and understand it. Well, family, we're at the end here. It's going to take further study. But my conclusion is the false prophet is a fallen angel. And when you talk about prophet, who's already said to be prophet? Jesus of Nazareth, according to some theologies. The Antichrist would have to be indwelled by Satan at the abomination of desolation, where Satan can come on this earth and be God of this earth. But he needs a physical body because he's supernatural. So it means it wouldn't be a fallen angel. It'd have to be a human body. Either way, they lose. Don't forget about that. Family, any comments or ideas or further study, you know, let me know. This has got me thinking, and I need to look at it more. But I really think this one named Sananda, Yeshua, this is why they went across the board. To say, well, his name was Yeshua when he was born. I said, okay, well, then you're going to say his name was Yeshua, his mother named him that, and you're telling me that now, then how come you're not speaking Hebrew? Because in Hebrew, it's going to be Yeshua. If you're talking to me about Jesus in English, his name's Jesus. If you're speaking to me in Greek, it's going to be Greek, which I can't speak, but I'll hear the word Jesus. I say, oh, I know that word. But what they're trying to do is get everybody all the time to say Yeshua. Well, I know what they're trying to do. They get all used to saying Yeshua, and it's what their agenda is, because that will get you prepared to receive Sananda Emmanuel, who in fact is saying he is Yeshua. And I have J-E-S-H-U-A, Yeshua, in the Illuminati textbook. and it matches up to Sananda. Sananda's a fallen angel. Raziel. There's your false prophet. That's yet to appear. He appeared to Helena Blavatsky, and now it's Bailey. Oh, yeah. Along with several other fallen angels. They were invoked into their presence to set up the New Age movement beginning 1875 to 1949. And it sure did. Big things are getting ready to happen. We'll see how far we get with it. It should be interesting this year, 2015. Family, we want to close in prayer. And you got some additional information, send it my way. I'm always interested in trying to decipher this mystery. So, and today I already have the broadcast on the site already put up. And I'll have this up tonight. Let you all know that John Kirkler plays our broadcast and my Bible study on his network. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. And he has sponsors there too, by the way. And he's doing a good, he's really happy with what's going on with his network. He's always had the dream, and apparently he's working out really well. And apparently some of the listeners have been using his services or his sponsors. Or donations, I don't know exactly, but that's between you and them. I don't get involved in it. For me, I just appreciate that he will agree to play my broadcast and my Bible studies. That was what I'm very appreciative about. And that's it. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you tonight. Bring us together, Father, in this weekend. Lord, we finished another week. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have. Father, grant us the patience we need, Lord, for these times coming. We know the tests are coming. Give us the words to speak. Discernment, wisdom to see the future, the events, to be anticipating these events that's going to happen. Keep us protected through the blood of Jesus as we do our studies. And Father, guide us in the right path. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Family, have a great weekend. And we shall see you next Monday, this coming Monday at 4 to 6. And then, of course, Bible study Monday night. And away we go. So here we are. Thank you for coming by. And joining me in my Bible study. Y'all have a good night. God bless you. See you. Have a good, great weekend. Safe. Good night. God bless.
Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted in.
you every day to the end.